Hello, everyone. It's Tiffany and Stephen here. You're here with us on another episode of Deep Dive. Now, new year, new me. New me.
Okay, how new? What's new?
Actually, nothing. I wish there was something, but actually, nothing. Because I'm just reflecting about, you know, last year.
Right.
And I don't like to leave the year with regrets. But I think there's one thing that I wish I had done sooner.
Oh, okay. What's that?
Which is to take up at least one skills future course.
Because that was the whole the rage last year, at the end of the year, to finish that $500 that you have before the 31st of December, right?
Yes. Did you?
No,
use
I never used mine either.
Okay.
I didn't get around to it. I thought about it. I looked a few courses, but never got around to signing up for anything.
Okay. So what I did was basically just kick the can down the road.
Oh.
I signed up for a subscription.
Okay.
So that I can use it in 2026.
Oh, that's quite smart, actually. So it's like giving credit to some organization and then saying, I'll take one of your courses later
on. One day.
At some point. Yeah. Okay. Well, we are talking about Skills Future today because the batch of credits that we know that just expired was actually given to us back in 2020. And it was meant for 5 years, you know, so that's why it expired. But actually, the whole thing started way back in 2015. I even forgot that it was that long ago.
Yes. So the first batch that we were given, we were given $500 as well, $500 worth of credits. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't use that one.
Yeah. So it's still there, right?
It's still waiting to be used. Yeah.
So the question is, why are Singaporeans not using their credits? Is it because we don't have the time, we don't have the interest, or are there some other things, you know, too many courses, difficulty in finding one that is relevant to use, difficulty in using the website?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the website.
The website, okay.
It was hard for me to navigate the website. And I mean, I'm not going to give any excuses, but you'll hear a little bit about what we're going to say, you know, later
okay.
on in
you
the
sure
podcast.
It's not user problem?
Could be user interface.
Okay, so let's get into it because today we have joining us Associate Professor Victor Sia from Singapore University of Social Sciences. He's also the Director of the Behavioral Insights Center of Excellence.
Hello. Hi.
And Career Development Specialist Dr. Yvonne Kong Ho.
Hello. Hi.
You've heard, you know, that he didn't use his $500 worth of credits. I, you know, basically at the last minute decided to sign up for something. Did you guys use your $500?
Long ago. Yeah, long ago.
Wow.
Finished it, you know, the moment
what
it was launched.
What did you sign up for?
So the first one I did a local university storytelling and branding course.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the other $500 I did it in a personal development course.
Okay.
I wanted to learn something new.
What about you, Victor?
I have to admit, I did not use the credit. Mm. But perhaps in my defense, you know, using the credit is one way to learn, but it's not the only way to learn. So I've been quite busy. We have, you know, training courses in the university as well. So I think I've done my fair share of learning last year.
Mm. So you didn't need to use the credits. I mean, it was there for you to use, but work provided training for you.
Indeed, in my case.
I think I felt the same way as
really?
Well. Yeah. I mean, number one, I didn't have time.
Okay.
So, you know, I have like two young kids. Taking any of these courses would mean that I would have to do it when they are asleep, which is a bit hard for me because I just want to, you know, chill, doom scrolling.
Okay. Yeah. Understandable.
But also, this company provides us some training.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that's the reason why I didn't use the Skills Future.
But maybe
credits.
We track back a little bit. I mean, the whole intent and purpose of getting this credit for Skills Future, I think, you know, some of us are also a bit unsure because lifelong learning, we say that, but also it's for your mid-career transition. For some people, it's just seen as a way to just pick up something new and do a hobby, you know. So actually, when you guys look at it, are we fulfilling the intent of what this Skills Future credit is for to begin with?
I think the intent is very clearly for industry needs, employee outcomes. And indeed, I think if you look at the courses that were in demand last year, you know, AI, cybersecurity. So, you know, I think learners have a career orientation here. Having said that, I think this brings to mind this idea. Steve Jobs, he once, you know, he credited the successes of the first Macintoshes to his incidental learning of Western calligraphy.
Okay.
So he was saying that because of that, you know, the first Macintoshes had better fonts, proportionate spacing, and that actually, the incidental learning led to that success. So I think while it's good to have that goal-oriented learning, it's also important to, you know, learn for the sake of learning. And I think that's one thing that SkillsFuture credits allow us to do, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's hopefully to rekindle that joy of learning.
When I heard about this skills future thing, immediately I was like, oh, maybe I go and learn how to make coffee.
Yeah.
Go and be a sommelier, you know, that kind of stuff. Just do something that is a hobby.
That's right.
Right? Something that I enjoy. But I mean, like Yvonne, when you speak to, you know, other people who are interested to develop their career, what are they saying that they are using skills future for? Are they using it for, you know, to advance their careers, or are they using it like how I perceive it as just a hobby?
You know, it's very interesting that the moment resources are given to people, sometimes I do note and observe that they actually don't use it for the very intent that, you know, the credits are supposed to be used for. So I really want, and I see, the people with the most amount of career capital are the people who really look at learning as a lifelong pursuit. They learn because they really, really love learning. So when the SkillsFuture credits came out, I was like, wow, it really was sparked them off to help them to learn for the sake of learning and hopefully to make them happier. But I realized they didn't really use it for learning. They didn't really, really like learning for the sake of learning. So they used it in many other places. And it disappointed me a little for some of them because it didn't really help their careers. And at the same time, it also didn't spark off the joy of learning. What I realized and noted was that they saw what was in flavor and then they tried it.
Okay.
Yeah, with no goal in mind. Yeah. And that was a little, would say, quite a pity.
But as you've mentioned, because it's sort of like a free resource,
exactly,
I didn't ask for it. So I'm like, okay, I can do whatever I want with it. And some people will think of using it for their career, but some will say, just for fun, I'll go pick up a coffee course, you know. So actually, if we look at it, they're all right in all those aspects, as long as you enjoy and you get something from it, right? But I guess that's when it comes back to the point that, you know, since there isn't any clear intent, are we kind of like not really working at it? Because I'm like, oh, well, it's just there. Until the last minute when it's going to expire, then I'm like, okay, let me try and figure out something.
I wished actually people would have, you know, taken a more strategic approach. And I'm sure Victor will agree with me, looking at behaviours, that, you know, if there was actually an end in mind that was clearer, for example, to build career capital. And when I mean building career capital, allow me to refer to a framework by Dr. Michael Arthur, knowing how, knowing whom, and knowing why. So there are a lot of people, they're like, oh, let me take on a, you know, coffee course because maybe one day I could look into becoming a barrister, knowing how. And that's through a course, actually, you get to learn more things through people around you, your classmates, than knowing whom. And then your aspirations and motivations get sharpened because of the knowing why. There are people who, for example, will go for a baking course, and after the baking course, they realize, I cannot survive.
I
cannot measure. I don't have the patience to look at the yeast, you know, bread, rice. I cannot.
Which is also good because you learn that you shouldn't be doing it, and therefore
you discover yourself,
and
right?
Someone is paying for you to learn that you shouldn't
absolutely
be doing this.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So it's kind of like a way to self-discover, you're saying,
which isn't a bad thing, actually.
Okay. I think the other thing also that people are saying as well is that that the website, like we were saying as well, is very hard to navigate.
Sure.
I mean personally I had a problem with that. I was trying to, you know, sign out this subscription and I felt that it was just going into a loop and I was stuck in the matrix. I couldn't get out of it. And I mean, is that a common complaint that you guys would hear from people?
You know, I've heard of that, right? But, you know, I think SkillsFuture, being the website, right, the SkillsFuture website, it's got this real big challenge of having to provide courses for the entire nation, right? While at the same time, as you suggest, you know, being able to sort of give people the most relevant courses as quickly as possible. But I think to their defense, I think they've done rolled out a couple of things. So there's this thing called Career Khaki, which uses like AI, and you could, you know, log in using SingPass, and then you could upload your resume, and then it'll give you more personalized recommendations. They've also sort of looked at how to enhance the course searches and all. So I think they're looking at it. Other things I suspect they could do more would be more prescriptive design. So what I mean by that is perhaps when we log in, there are already courses shortlisted for us, pre-selected, right? So, you know, being a bit more prescriptive in the design might be a bit more helpful.
Right.
You know, it removes the inertia. You know, it's lined up for us. We don't have to go through the 20,000, 30,000 courses on
the website. That's one of the things. There are almost too many courses to choose from. But it sounds like what you guys are saying is that it needs to be more focused.
Just a comment on the choices. And I think there's a study from 2000 that I really find very interesting, right? So this group of experiment researchers, they booked a table at a weekend market. And in one condition, they sold six jams. In another condition, they sold 24 gems.
Oh, what's the difference?
Yeah.
So just the difference in number of choices, right? So six number of gems, so six varieties of gems.
Okay. Oh.
And 24 varieties of gems. So a bit of the, you know...
So with the less variety, they sold more.
Indeed. So that's what they found. So 30% of those who stopped at the six varieties table bought. Whereas those who stopped at the 24 varieties,
right.
Only 3% bought.
Because they were in less of a gem.
They had the dilemma of choice. Yeah. Let me undead joke this. But I like that. That was actually quite funny.
Nice one.
Very nice one. So you're saying that don't give people so many choices.
I mean, you know, you can't really go out and say don't give people choices, right? But I think the whole idea is to nudge, to sort of, you know, provide recommendation and to steer them towards certain directions. Mm. Oh, if I work in media, should I have media courses shortlisted for me? I think there are pros and cons, right?
Yeah.
But back to the whole idea that, you know, if I'm a finance bro and I'm going to learn coffee, that also makes me a more well-rounded person, right? So I think as a citizen, that makes for a more attractive and dynamic country to be in.
And
so,
what if I just don't want to be a finance bro for the rest of my life?
No, but in a way, what we're saying is you sort of streamline it into certain pockets so that I know if I tap from this pocket, I have these resources which can only be used for a similar industry. If I want like my CCA, like a kid in school, you know, then I can tap on this category and get something different. Then, because otherwise we're going through, I'm searching every course thinking, what should I do, right? So
yeah, because the same AI course is also open for Yvonne, as well. So that makes me go, I'm a kid in a candy store, but I don't know which candy is right for me.
Exactly.
Okay. So nudging is important. Nudging people in the right way is important. I think the other thing that people are also saying is that there are also like perhaps too many vendors. You know, one of the things that I hear people always say as well is that there are all these courses. Let's say, for example, let's move away from AI. Let's say, for example, tea making. You know, I mean, I don't know, maybe one day I want to be like a tea brewer, right? Sure. But then there are all these different training providers. How do I know which one is the better one?
Different vendors do bring different things to the table, but I will always encourage them to speak to people who have actually gone for these courses before and had to seek out feedback and not to only just rely on online feedback. Yeah, and I want to just circle back to Victor's point about, you know, AI, using AI. I think there's nothing wrong using AI to help you to identify courses. I know HR professionals are already very busy and, you know, they might just throw stones at me after they watch this episode, right? But I still want to encourage HR professionals, coaches, mentors to actually be very well versed, you know, as to what is actually being offered in the market so that they can recommend people. Yeah. I think long time ago, we have heard of T-shaped professionals.
Okay, what's
you have that? The breadth of knowledge, but you're very good at one thing. Yeah, for example, you know, I'm a barista. I'm very good at making, let's say, cappuccino. And I'm very, very good at that. But you have to kind of diversify, right? And know how to make latte and piccolos and all. So from a T shape, usually people will start to become a pie shape professional. You know, the pie that we do in math.
Yeah.
But actually, the latest career development literature says that we have to be a comb shape professional. Comb? It's like you're using a comb. Yes, because what if one day AI takes away what you're very, very good at doing? Then what else can you do? And in a way, we cannot just rely on AI to recommend us, because very likely they'll recommend us similar baskets of skills. But they are human beings who are very good at what they're doing in your industry, and they can recommend something else so that you can build other things. So I would say, vendors aside, go back to what you want to grow in, with a strategic plan. And hopefully we can also revive the joy of learning in this nation. Right.
So in a way, I am diversifying my own skills.
Exactly.
Trying different things so that I can have, like the comb, like more options, I guess.
But are you saying that then I have to kind of have one overarching thing that I am kind of good at, let's say media, and then my different, you know, points of the comb is like, I don't know, podcast, maybe be, you know, writer, you know, researcher and everything. Or are you saying that the different combs can be absolutely different things, but they can have transferable skills?
I think it also goes back to the agility of a person.
Yeah.
Like, and also the lifestyles as well as the life stages of the person. I mean, with all due respect, if the person is in his 60s, maybe the comb, there should be an overarching theme and then the different actually areas of expertise. But if the person is in the 20s or 30s, where there's actually a greater and longer like lifespan that we're looking at, the different things to do and different opportunities to reinvent, maybe there can be different combs.
Because the older guy might need a comb over.
Yes.
Right. Oh, so, sorry, I can't. It's just too many opportunities presenting itself. In a way, from what you're saying, companies can help us use our skills credit. If the company says, okay, I'll give you time off to go and do it for one, and then saying, go and tap on this resource because I think it'll be good for you in this role that you have, then it makes it easier for us to also decide to use that.
There are people who tell me they want to do their Skills Future credits and do courses, but they don't have time. I mean, honestly, if we have older folks to take care of, parents and then children, actually it's really, really hard. What if you give me time? And that's not out of my AL, not out of my annual leave.
Okay.
Really time off to really just learn and use my Skills Future. I think that would be very appealing because sometimes what I hear on the ground is really, I don't have time to learn. Just no.
So this is where companies need to step in to say, support. Let me help you learn.
Yes.
Yeah. But what is in it for the company? Why doesn't the company say, you know, have their own money? They use their own money. Basically, don't tap on my free Skills Future credits. If you want me to go and learn, go ahead and pay that money for me to go and get training. My Skills Future credits, let me use it as play credits lah, you know?
Then what would be the incentive for the company to sort of want to help you, right? If you're, you know, since you're still using my resources, then actually I don't care what you do in your free time, right?
Well, I think, you know, Yvonne's point, which is related to this idea of organizational signaling, right? So if we take a step back and we think of, you know, the use of SkillsFuture credit and upskilling, it's really a sort of pay now, benefit future, in the future kind of a problem, right? So if I were to take up a course, if I had used my SkillsFuture credit, I would have incurred certain costs. Mm-hmm. Right, so the training fees, the time off work, I pick up my kids, you know, then I need alternate arrangements. So all those costs are certain and immediate, but the benefits are distant, so somewhere in the future, and uncertain, right? So I'm not sure whether this AI course or whatever course I'm going to take is going to benefit my boss or my team, it's going to be recognized, you know. So I think if organizations actually signal quite clearly what kind of skills are required, then that will actually reduce the cost and the uncertainties involved in upskilling and using the credit. So that would be very helpful.
In other words, if I sign up on this course and do it, then maybe I'll get a promotion or something. There's some incentive at the end. Otherwise,
but companies won't guarantee that if you do Skills Future or you go and upskill yourself, it means I'll give you a promotion. No, can't guarantee that.
Well, for certain roles, you have to go through certain certification. So to get to the next rank, you need to do at least this.
So give them a roadmap, you're saying. Yeah. Like help your employees by giving them a very clear roadmap. What you need to do to get to the next goal.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you are going to use your Skills Future credits or ask for training.
Yeah.
But then that's the part where some of us may say, but it's my money. I want to use it for something else.
Correct.
Let's use the company money for the company roadmap. You know?
Yeah. So how prescriptive should companies be?
I think there is some funds set aside for companies to actually pay for some of these courses as well. So it's not as if the company do necessarily have to pay out of their own pocket, so to speak. So if they were to tap on such funds, then I think it's rightly so that they'd be a bit more prescriptive.
I think so far we've been talking, you know, as how we can use Skills Future to better help our careers, better, you know, get more money at the end of the day, essentially. But are we approaching this maybe slightly in a wrong way? Because right at the start of this podcast conversation, we keep talking about this idea of lifelong learning, that we should be seeing it as a journey that we are enjoying learning. But then again, it's like, you know, there's this, how do we balance going back into the whole, but Skills Future, the intent of it is to help me to upskill, right? So are we like as a nation almost kind of forgetting how to learn and enjoy learning?
I would just jump on. I heard people pointing at, 70% of Singaporeans haven't used the Skills Future credit. And I don't think that should be a barometer for the state of national learning. Actually, learning exists outside of the Skills Future credit, right? You know, we learn informally. It's a bit ironic for a university professor to say this, but much of the learning, it happens outside the lecture theatre, outside the classroom, right? It's informal, it's on the job, it's in my day-to-day life. I learn from my kids as well. So I think that this idea that, we are nation of, you know, we don't really enjoy learning, I'm not so sure whether we can jump to that conclusion just based on that.
I mean, I like it the way it is. I think it's there. You can use it for whatever you want because our intent and purpose for each of us will be different. you know, well, at my age, I don't really plan to have a next career. Mm. I think, you know, so maybe I don't need that credit for that mid-career switch. But I guess the question is, how do we then get people to use it more? Because otherwise, what's going to happen is wait till the next expiry date comes up, and then everyone's going to jump.
Everybody's
going to
rush in, get some subscriptions. Mm. Yeah,
I mean, one of the people who use it the most is our parents. My mom uses it because she's retired. And she's asked before, can I use your credits? I'm like, I wish I could give it to you. Maybe a certain portion of the credit should allow for us to give it away. Maybe there are some people who could. Because again, 500 doesn't take you very far if you want to do a professional course. Mm. Maybe I can donate it to someone.
I mean, Yvonne, do you feel that 500 was enough for you when you were doing
it? Not at all, to be very, very honest. So I topped up quite a bit.
You did?
Okay. Yeah, because I saw the value of the course that I wanted to do. Yeah, and coming back really to this whole, are we able to transfer? I think we need to be very thankful for the fact that we have SkillsFuture credits to use. It's actually a privilege given to us, so we need to kind of treasure it. But how can that really add value to us? I think that's the key point that we are trying to bring to people. So if I have the SkillsFuture credits, what do I do?
Mm. Yeah.
And I still want to go back to being strategic about it. I think we are speaking, I would say a lot of people, they are very blessed to have companies where they invest in these workers. But there are workers where the companies cannot afford to send them out for training. And if they want to kind of increase their career prospects, for the long run, then they may be able to use these credits to help them to become better at a workplace, to secure themselves in their careers.
So help our folks understand. So if they're in a position now where they're thinking, now again, it's a new year, I can start signing up for some courses. What would you suggest they should think about for both aspects, those who want to use it for their career, but those who also just want to use it for fun, I mean, do you have any words of advice or suggestions for them? Victor, you want to go first?
I think going back to this idea again that, using the credits can be immediate costs and certain costs versus uncertain future gains, right? So then how I would go around it is thinking about, first of all, if I wanted to use it for my career, is to understand, I think what Yvonne was saying, being a bit more strategic about this, right? So speaking to first line supervisors, your reporting officer, and understanding what might be more valuable. So I think that's probably a good way to go about it.
So you can even go and ask your supervisor, would a marketing course help me, or should I do a, a finance course, something like that?
I think my RO would appreciate it, I think,
That's true.
SkillsFuture, at the end of the day, really will support us and help us to grow. So we have to have that kind of mindset and perspective and know that at the end of the day, we control our career trajectories. Yes, our HR can help us, our ROs can help us, but we have to sit down ourselves, and then look, if this is where I want to be at, how can the SkillsFuture credits help me? And hopefully, even for people who are like, no, I don't like learning. Learning is not fun. Learning is punitive because I was scolded when I was young, there are different negative mindsets. Hopefully, even when they do something for fun, they're like, actually, I'm quite good at this. Hopefully, that will encourage them to do something else, to continue to learn and to learn and to learn. Because I think learning is really the secret power that we should all have.
Okay, so take a course that could also spark that joy of learning.
Absolutely. Yes.
Be exposed. Yeah. Try out all kinds of stuff. I mean, you've extra money, why not just go and try out
something different?
I think it's very appealing to learn without a fear of grades. We both work in universities. When we have to grade some people, we're like, people would tell me.
As an adult, this is an opportunity to learn without the...
No consequence.
What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
I try again because there are no grades.
That's true.
I think in this nation, we need to really move away from grades. Mm. Yeah, so SkillsFuture credits can be that, very, very fail-proof way.
That's true.
The stakes are very low. What's the worst that can happen?
That's
go home and revise again. Go to YouTube. Oh, my coach, my instructor said that. I don't understand. Go home and learn again. Mm. What is the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
That's what I tell people all the time.
Time is the thing that I will be, having to repeat.
We always have this KPI that I must achieve something out of it. But actually, the baking class, I go there, I learn, I fail, I realize, never do this again.
That's my KPI.
That's a lesson too. Right?
That's true.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. I mean, I now I'm going to go back and look at this subscription that I have. I don't think I will use it for my career because, like I say, I get help here.
Yeah.
But I think maybe I'll go and look for some things that I can, try and get exposed to.
So, are you a good baker?
Not bad, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you get a rise out of it?
Yes, yeah. I do. That's good. Yes, okay. I definitely do. And I don't mind watching yeast bloom.
Oh, yeah. Is the yeast you can do?
We gotta stop.
Okay, we better stop.
Yeah, you're on the roll.
So on that note, it's a brand new year. If you still have credits left in your SkillsFuture account, think about what you'd like to do with it. And if you have any crazy ideas, send it our way too.
Yeah,
we'd love to see what people are doing with it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So inspire us.
Yeah.
Yep. So see you next week. Bye.
Bye for now.